everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. As usual, we've got Rick and Tony here with me. We've got some fun news, some bad news, all sorts of news to discuss today. So we're going to start with kind of a funny one, because I really wanted to hear Tony's take on this. But one of the leading causes of housing affordability, the housing affordability crisis, is lack of supply. And there's a startup who is building tiny homes in backyards with the aim of creating extra space or potential rental income. Tony, do you think this is the solution to inflation? Is everyone just lives in a box?
Of course, man. How else would you solve this problem? Let them print an infinite number of money. We can just, you know, honey, I shrunk the kids and live in a shoebox. That way, you know, it won't cost us anything. It'll cost us, you know, $1.50 a month. And, you know, we'll all be crammed a little bit, you know, maybe make it maybe a little more cozy, you know, with you and your partner, you know, develop, you know, closer relationships that way. And if you don't end up killing each other, well, yes, then you'll save some money. But the lunacy and the absurdity of this news that keeps coming out on a regular basis, you know, like there's no limit to their creativity, right? Of course, it's complete rubbish. It's like no one should be taking this seriously, even though they expect us to, because of course, you know, we're the dummies that'll just, you know, buy whatever they spew out at us. But no, man, the money printer has to go, and everything has to be done in order to ensure that these thieves, you know, are no longer in a position to abuse what they're doing, which is leading us to all this clown world, you know, on steroids. So that's my take on this. I'm not living in any shoebox, that's for sure.
Rick, you've been talking about leaving the UK. Are you gonna move into one of these?
I mean, famously, like, UK houses are pretty small already, right? So I think if most Americans came over and saw the shoeboxes we're already living in, there is no room to downsize, like, genuinely. But I mean, the whole thing's ludicrous. You know, I mean, for me, you know, show me the incentives and I'll show you the outcomes, right? So, you know, this isn't like the government forcing you into tiny homes. In my opinion, right, all that we're seeing here is that a CEO has recognized a gap in the market and he's filling it with a solution, which is little boxes in your back garden, right? Like, I don't really have an issue with that CEO spotting that gap in the market. He might not understand why it makes sense, but the fiat system makes it make sense because nobody can afford anything and your money is becoming worthless. So, you know, you are just progressively being pushed further and further back from owning anything, like owning any assets, having any ability to improve your life. And the funniest thing about this is, like, companies like this, like, they tend to, like, you know, build up all this hype in the media and then they go public and then they launch on the stock exchange. So, you know, in another twist of cruel irony, people are going to try and escape inflation by buying stocks in a company that makes tiny little boxes like rabbit hutches in their garden for you to live in, and you're still not noticing that you're sat living in a box in the garden, hoping that this business does well, but this business can only do well because you're getting poorer. So, the whole thing is just is ludicrous, isn't it? And I guess, hey, I mean, you know, I'm the resident conspiracy theorist in our household, and I guess you could say maybe Klaus Schwab is getting what he wants, right? You will own nothing and you'll be happy. And first, you know, you can maybe own one of these rabbit hutches, but, you know, if we continue down this fiat experiment, soon you'll only be able to rent a rabbit hutch in a garden. Yeah. And we will finally, the solution will be complete. You have become complete slaves. You live in your little rabbit hutch. You work for just enough money to pay for the hutch and maybe some lettuce and the odd carrot, you know, if you don't complain too much. And yeah, you know, you will own nothing and be happy. That's where we're headed. And just waiting for the rest of the population to figure this out so that we can move to a better solution.
The rabbit hutch. I love that. But, you know, the sad thing about this, though, is I think to your point, I mean, this is, you know, this is capitalism working to solve a problem that people face and without perhaps recognition of the origins of the problem. But I think the sad thing is that there are going to be people who hop on board and effectively live in a box because that's their option, right? Like, I mean, home ownership for younger people is almost out of the question unless you've got someone who's able to support you, who took advantage of not took advantage in a malicious way, but was able to capitalize on the last 40 years of money printing and asset inflation. And my concern with this type of solution is that it feels like a solution, and maybe over time it becomes normalized where you just have communities of these, you know, tiny little houses pop up and people think that that's just kind of the way it goes, or that's what is normal. And it's unfortunate. So we can sit here and joke about it all day. The sad reality is I think there are a lot of people who are going to take advantage of the opportunity to afford a home, any home, because otherwise their options are more limited, especially I think younger people. But I do agree with you. I think Klaus Schwab sitting there, he's probably an early investor, you know, like this is probably someone's probably behind this who, we know about.
Hey there, just a really quick break from Bitcoin Banter and we'll be right back. Wanted to remind you that we, the Bitcoin Way, are the leaders in achieving self-sovereignty, whether it's self-custodying your Bitcoin properly and securely, protecting your online life and keeping it private, or even coming up with a plan B option in the event you would need to move yourself or your family elsewhere. Go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a few minutes to learn more from a member of our team. We hope to see you soon.
Alrighty. On to something cyber related. So this is scary stuff. They'll deny it, but your phone is definitely listening to you. This is from cybernews.com. And I was reading up on this. And so you hear, like, you know, my wife had this happen actually once. She had a cold and was talking about how she needed to, you know, get some medicine or whatever. And immediately on Facebook or Instagram, whatever she was doing, she starts seeing ads for cold medication. And she said, you know, my phone's listening to me. And at the time I was like, I don't think so. I mean, it's, you know, cold season or, you know, whatever. Now I'm obviously a lot more skeptical of that sort of thing, but there are actually, companies like, Cox Media Group, who has publicly boasted, about the ability to listen in on users' conversations. The article goes on to talk about sort of the way this happens and the way that they are able to better target ads, effectively, probably at relatively little cost. And then the article concludes with head to your settings and check all permissions you've enabled for different apps. So, Tony, this is probably one that's near and dear to your heart because you think a lot about mobile privacy. What are your reactions to this?
Well, this has always been going on for a very long time, and I've, you know, voiced the concern about this since, you know, years ago, but nobody believed me. And the problem was that when they first started doing it, it was very subtle. You know, it wasn't, you know, as in your face as it is now. Now it's very clear that, you know, you utter certain keywords and then you open certain apps and boom, you know, you have the pictures, the ads, you know, just, you know, flowing through your regular content. So now a lot more people are starting to believe that it's true because, you know, you just can't miss it anymore because they don't care. It seems, you know, okay, we listen to them. It doesn't matter. We're going to do it anyhow. But this is, again, why, you know, mobile privacy is a big deal for me. Like on my phone, I never have to worry about these things. Like they really, I've never dealt with this problem ever because my mobile phone is locked down from a privacy perspective, you know, and this is what we do, you know, when people want to, you know, like get off the grid, so to speak, on their mobile devices, is that we lock them down with certain privacy services that filter out all this garbage. And, you know, there's also, you know, good tips and practices that, you know, people can adhere to in order to minimize the impact of these apps. So it's been years since any of my phones have listened to anything I've said. In fact, my mobile experience is quite boring if you want to know the truth, because there's no drama, you know, there's no surprises that I encounter other than for what I really need it for. And this is a problem, and if people want to, you know, get away from this problem, there are solutions, but, you know, it's going to require breaking some old habits. And unless you're ready to do that, well, you're just going to have to continue being the product of these companies that are, you know, siphoning everything about you to make money off of you.
Yeah. Rick, I imagine the conversations that happen around your dinner table would make you fearful? Are you turning your phone off, or what are you doing?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we often laugh about this, right? Because, you know, I'm in the UK where you have to be careful what you say now before you get arrested, right, for wrongthink. Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess these things aren't a huge surprise. You know, I know Google and these other companies, they're quite adamant that, you know, your phone isn't listening to you. That's what they say. But look, you know, look at the evidence. When you see companies out there boasting and selling services based on the fact that they can listen to you and they can target ads, you know, I think to a certain extent, when you look at their explanation of how they do it, how they implement it, I mean, I think it would be a pretty big hoax, right? So apparently Google kicked them off their partnership program, this Cox Media company who claimed they could do it and stuff. But the truth is, right, the capability is there. The capability is there. So, you know, similar to the way we think about money, you know, you're back to a trust-based issue, aren't you? You're back to trusting that Google doesn't listen in on you. And like you said, Michael, like we've all had weird experiences where we're talking about something, you know, in a private conversation, and then some weird adverts or weird targeted content seems to show up. I mean, I've seen on, again, I don't know the veracity of this or whatever, but I've seen videos online where people have claimed that, you know, I saw one guy, I don't know where I saw this. He said that he left his mobile phone with his mum while he went out for the day or something. And she was sitting at home watching Spanish novellas. And he speaks English. And then later he starts seeing adverts in Spanish because she's been watching Spanish TV all day. Now, you know, I can't verify that. I mean, here's an interesting question for anyone listening, right? Like, let us know in the comments. But should we take a standard phone, set up a Google account on it, and then just try and have like scripted conversations in a sandbox around this phone and see what happens? Like, you know, maybe we should test these things for ourselves. But look, I think advertising is the thin end of the wedge here, right? Because, okay, ads are annoying and you know, commercially companies are going to want to target certain customers. That makes sense. But, you know, the bigger concern is, well, what access do the three-letter agencies have to what you're saying around your phone? What access does the government have? And, you know, the world's looking pretty crazy out there, right? You've got, you know, they're trying to ban, what was it, X in Brazil. You've got Keir Starmer locking people up for tweeting in the UK. You've got Pavel Durov getting arrested in France because of, you know, providing private messaging. And I think, you know, that's enough evidence for everyone to realize, like, they want to know every little minute detail about your private conversations, your thoughts, your desires. They want to know everything about you. You know, we used to say that your eyes are the windows to your soul. Perhaps now we need to consider that maybe it's your mobile phone, because this little companion that's with you 24 hours a day probably knows you better than your partner or your closest friends. So, you know, you got to take this like really seriously. And I think like Tony makes a great point. There are solutions out there, but we have to just stop like downloading apps, agreeing to the terms of service, giving permissions to any app that we download. And, you know, I would suggest go a lot further and set up a fully fledged privacy phone.
100%.
Well said. Alrighty. I'm going to let Tony take this next one first, because I want to give Rick a moment to rant. So the infamous and former Mt. Gox CEO, Mark Capellas, is launching a new crypto exchange with a focus on transparency, based in Poland. I think it's pronounced Lipex. Tony, is that where you're going to start buying your Bitcoin?
He's back, eh? He wasn't enough that he destroyed people's lives in round one. Now he's coming for round two. The sad thing about this is that there are going to be people that are going to fall for it. And, you know, there's a very, very simple reason for that. And, you know, as they say, a picture is worth a thousand words. And here you are. Okay. So that's...
Oh, the great Tony.
Oh, Tony.
Because, of course... You know,
I love
it. Because, of course, you know... He made a mistake the first time. It wasn't, you know, intentional that, you know, he ripped people off and people lost their life savings. It was a mistake. You know, it was an accident. It happens. Everybody's human. Let's try for round two now. Maybe he's changed, because now you can trust him. Now he's regulated, right? Now the government is behind him. He's supposed to be a good guy. So please, by all means, go put your whatever's left of your life savings into this clown's new project, and let us know how much money you make and how better off your life becomes afterwards. Of course, this is a joke. You never touch anything this guy does ever again, or anybody like him. You know, there's no such thing as safe money unless it's in your full control. And the only way to do this is Bitcoin in self-custody. You can try to weasel your way, try to look north, south, west, and east. All roads are going to come back to Bitcoin in self-custody. Stop wasting time. There isn't much of it left anyhow. So those that, you know, are paying attention will have some sort of insurance. And those that don't, unfortunately, are going to learn it an extremely painful way.
Yeah, I can't wait to see if he has yield-bearing products. That'll be a fun time. So, Rick, you've got some very personal experience with Mt. Gox. Why don't you give your reaction?
Yeah, so, I got a bone to pick with this Mark Krapelis guy, or whatever his name is, right? Because this guy... Well, first of all, right, so I bought my first Bitcoin on Mt. Gox, you know, and, you know, almost infamously now, if you've come across my story, you know, I got hacked last year. We were in self-custody, but our setup wasn't robust enough because I hadn't met Tony yet, unfortunately, which is annoying. But, you know, I've met him now and I'm sorted. But yeah, look, the short version of the story is we got hacked and we believe that we were targeted. We can't prove this for certain. But we found out from law enforcement that our data, so my name, my dad's name, our home addresses, how much Bitcoin we'd bought, the addresses we'd sent it to, all this information was out on the dark web because it was leaked when Mt. Gox got hacked. So, you know, I think there's a real strong likelihood that that KYC information that Mark couldn't keep safe ended up on the dark web and resulted in me and my dad being targeted and having, you know, millions of dollars of Bitcoin stolen from us, which is absolutely, you know, look, and here's the other thing that I'd say to Mark is, do you know what, Mark? I'm really, really glad that, you know, okay, we had our money stolen, but our addresses and our names were on that KYC data that you couldn't keep safe. And that means that my old man, he's approaching 70 years old now. His wealth was known, you know, out on the dark web with his address, right? These thugs could have shown up at his house and taken physical, you know, violence to go and try and retrieve the Bitcoin from us. And I'm extremely thankful that that isn't what happened, but that's a very real reality. And you know what? My KYC data is still out there circulating on the dark web because this absolute clown has no idea how to build a business, has no idea how to keep it safe and the security tight. And I find it absolutely appalling that this absolute chump would come around and have the gall to come and set up another Bitcoin exchange and ask the community and ask people to trust him again. I mean, you know, recently people might remember that, you know, the big news was that the Mt. Gox coins were going to be sort of returned to customers, right? There was this creditor process. And everyone was wondering, okay, well, these guys were forced to hodl for 5 or 6 years or however long it was. And that means that the Bitcoin that they were getting back was worth quite a lot more. And it was almost like a good story. And will they sell it or will they hodl it? And that's where everyone's focus was. And the point that everyone's missing is even those creditors who got something back from the exchange only got somewhere in the region of 14% of their original stack back. So that means the stack of Bitcoin that they trusted with this Mark Krapelis guy, they lost 84% of it, along with all their KYC data into the ether as well that's still circulating. So, look, you know, shame on any investors that go and work with this guy. Shame on any influencers who go and promote this ridiculous exchange. And shame on Mark. You know, I'd love to go and speak to that guy and be like, hey, Mark, all my data is floating around cyberspace. You couldn't keep it safe. Like, what have you got to say for yourself? So, hey, listen, like, I don't know. Like, go and check out my Twitter account, because when he launches this thing, I'm going to be the reply guy, like FUDing everything this guy tries to promote, because, you know, it played a part in me getting ripped off. And I think it's unacceptable. So, I think I'll stop there. Right. Because, yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, can't blame you. Well, the good news, Rick, is if your data's still floating around, you can move into one of these tiny homes in someone else's backyard, and then no one will know where you are. So options abound. All righty, okay. Guys, I think that's what we got for the day. For everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. I'm going to highlight first our mobile privacy service. So if you want a privacy-oriented phone, we were talking about your phone's listening to you. Check out the bitcoinway.com/podcast, schedule a time with a member of our team. This is, to Rick's point, it's such a huge part of our lives, and it's maybe the eyes into our souls. So get that figured out. If you want your Bitcoin set up in proper self-custody, check us out as well. Plan B residency to citizenship options, just privacy and security in your online life. Generally, we help with all of that. We'd love to have a chat with you. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. This is so much fun as always, and look forward to catching up with you again in a few days.
Thanks, Michael. Catch you next time.
Cheers, guys.